Well, today's episode was a fantastic interview with Chad Lang and Matt Townsley. They're the recent authors of a new book called A Parent's Guide to Grading and Reporting, Being Clear About What Matters. One of my favorite parts about this interview is the fact that we spend so much time talking about SRGs that we usually talk about that or have that conversation from the lens of a teacher. And this is a book that talks about it from the lens of a parent and what should a parent do to reach out to make sure that they are completely understanding the grades. And I think that's something that we don't necessarily pay as much attention about. One of the great things I hear in this interview was they talk about the triad, you know, the triad of communication between the teacher, the student, and the parent. And again, oftentimes grades are, you know, we just give them, kids know what they're doing. We hope that a parent goes online and looks at our online grade book. But outside of that, when do we really talk to parents? During parent-teacher conferences? And this has just given us a different lens to look at and some information on, I think it would be a great resource for teachers and parents because it allows the teachers to think about how their grades are viewed from a parent's perspective. Anyway, enough for me. Let's get straight to the interview so you can listen to what these two gentlemen have to say about their book. Enjoy the show. Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit.
Peg Doesn't Fit highlights change makers in education. I'm Ryan Bartle.
And I'm Eric Steven. Thanks for listening. We're hopeful you find value in your personal and professional development journey through our content. Enjoy the show.
Today on the show, we've got Chad Lang and Matt Townsley with us. They are the authors of A Parent's Guide to Grading and Reporting. And though Eric and I haven't read this, it's a lot about standards reference grading, which we are both familiar with. So we're excited to hear more. And that whole, like, whoever reaches out to parents and tells them how to do stuff. So that's pretty awesome. So thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us. The book's so recent, that's why you haven't read it. It's just hit Amazon and other major book publishers. So it'll be coming your way soon.
Excellent. Yeah. And can people jump on right now already and order it?
Yes, you can order it on Roman and Littlefield is the publisher. You can order it on their website. It is available on Amazon pretty much overnight, I think. Barnes and Noble's, all your major book distributors.
Awesome. You want to jump in here, Matt? Say hi.
Yeah. Hey, everyone out there in the Peg Doesn't Fit land. Great to be here today. Yeah, really excited to share more about this book. You know, it's a different audience writing for parents. Yet it was, well, maybe it's safe to say for Chad and myself, that it was a nice challenge to think about writing in a way that's not for school administrators or not for an academic audience or not for teachers, but really think it fits a nice niche. In fact, in our own little exploration, we found out there hadn't been a book written specifically for parents about grading in about 20 years. So I think this one has some shelf life as well.
Well, let's jump into that point then. So, cause you're right. We've talked about SRGs on the show and a lot of districts throughout the country are starting to transition from traditional grading to SRG and everybody's kind of got their own little twist on it. But why do parents need this book and what made you write? Because this is a totally different perspective and point of view than we've talked about on our show. And I would imagine that most people even talk about, because we always talk about what it is that we are doing. And we don't always focus on who's receiving what we're doing. So why'd you write it? How'd it come about?
Well, it came about, Eric, really because Matt and I have the unique opportunity to be both practitioners, teachers of reform grading practices in the classroom, district leaders, and then Matt even transitioning into the higher ed world. So we really know what the sticking points are. And when you get down to it, grading is a form of communication. And when communication breaks down within an educational system around grades, which have some emotional aspects to them, they have some currency or sort of like some social norms related to them, And we're not all on the same page about what communication and the meaning behind grades. It can be problematic to develop a collaborative relationship between parents and the school. And then one of the things we talk about a lot in the book is a triad of communication. Like, so much traditional communication about grades actually usurped the students altogether. They kind of took them out of the equation. And we really believe that in the 21st century, people have to be able to track their own learning. Where are you at? And then be an integral part of that conversation between the parents, the educators, and also the students. That's really important. And so when you're talking about grades being a form of communication, making sure that everybody understands what sits behind those symbols is really important.
Yeah, a quick story comes to mind. As a district office administrator in Iowa, as we were going through our big grading reform transition, we were feeding our teachers with a lot of information about what they should be putting in their grade book. The format of the standards and so forth needs to get put in the grade book, significantly different than the points and percentages they were used to before. And then eventually we kind of went down this road of how do we help our students get on board, right? So we did some very specific things across our buildings to help ensure that our students were receiving some very consistent messages. But then, you know, parent-teacher conferences come around, right? And we had lines of parents showing up at certain times, like they didn't understand this. And so as I was talking with another one of our administrators in our school district, here's what we recognized. Our parents were still asking the same types of questions to teachers that they've been asking before. And so we just assumed then that they were asking the same types of questions to their students. And so one of the fantastic features, I got to give Chad a lot of credit for this, is at the end of every chapter of our book, we actually set up the different questions that parents ought to be asking their kids. We also give them sample questions that as parents, they can also be asking their kids' teachers. And so it really is it's not just a knowledge, how do I know more about standards reference or standards-based grading type of book, but really a guide to help parents better be partners with their child and their child's teachers and the whole educational process. And so that's what Chad's, he had the great idea also of the triad. And so that's really what we're trying to get at the heart at. So we think there's also benefits, right, for a school administrator to pick this up and say, you know what, there's some questions from this book that we could use in coaching the parents in our school district, or maybe having a PTO or PTA or other parent group pick it up and really understand the different questions to ask about what their kid's learning and what all those fours, threes, twos, and ones and proficients and almost proficients mean in the gradebook or report card.
Tell us more about the triad. I guess that's where my brain's still stuck at. Like, what is, explain it more.
Sure.
Help us visualize it.
So if you think about it, just a triangle image, really, in an ideal traditional communication, you would have really back and forth communication between the parents and guardians and the teachers, the educators. And we have sort of archaic models, really, in this day and age, back and forth of just maybe at report card time, maybe just parent-teacher conferences. And obviously, as technology has evolved, the opportunity to go back and forth has become easier. But what are we communicating about? And one of the things that we noticed from our time as school leaders, and both Matt and I were teachers and principals and coaches and those kinds of things, is where have we leveraged pulling the student in, that accountability piece, to be the translator? And so there wasn't this duality. And so oftentimes, like activities in band and vocal music, the parent might get a notification about, oh, we're going to a different competition and we're playing, you know, this different level of varsity. What does that mean? And the kid jumps all over it. They're like, oh, we're in the black division and the gold division means this. And so that level of intensity and understanding often gets completely missed in feedback around achievement. And so bringing the student in and making sure that we're not tagging up on the students, like we're not having conversations behind their back. You know, we're very transparent. The targets are really clear. You may not understand what it means to cite key details to make inference of a nonfiction text, but you might know a better question to ask, how will I know when you can do that? And so it's just completing the triad, and sometimes it might be more than that, depending on the family dynamics, so that we're all on the same page. It's not, grading's not something that's being done to your child, it's being done with your student to understand where they're at so that they have a clarity of where they're at and they can help bridge the gap. Because we know that, you know, we're most likely, hopefully, going to listen to what our children tell us about what's going on at school. So just having an opportunity to be more on the same page and having clarity about what's being learned versus what's being earned, as Matt always says, is truly what we're trying to get at.
Yeah. Wow. Go ahead, Matt. That was fantastic, Chad. Thanks for that.
Yeah. One more thing that, again, for leaders out there that are listening to this, they're maybe trying to, or teachers that are out there listening to this, and they're really trying to take their next steps with grading reform, whatever they're calling it in their district. It's super important, obviously, that those closest to the action understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, right? So the teachers, that's what I'm talking about right now, is the teachers. They have to understand it and do it well, right? Here's what we found. Students who get it equals parents who get it. Students who don't get it equals parents who don't get it. And so that also completes this triad that Chad's talking about here, is we want to be able to ensure that our parents understand what's going on in the grade book, what's going on in the classroom. But that doesn't just involve the teacher and the parent. It also involves the student. And so I can think of one specific story where I know for sure the teacher in our school system just was not confident yet in their grading practices. And what that translated into was students that were not yet confident in it. I could tell you for sure where the emails and the letters to the editor for sure were coming from. They were stemming from a couple classes where a teacher wasn't yet confident in why in the world and what in the world this standards-based grading thing was. And so we really feel like a parent's guide to grading reporting hopefully fills a gap there for us, fills a gap for teachers and administrators really trying to walk the line of creating just a really transparent grading practices. They're significantly different, if we're honest, than the grading practices that our parents in 2023 probably experienced when they were a kid.
Well, I love everything I just heard. I love the triad because, you know, I'm kind of going down this Hattie rabbit hole right now, and I'm really getting into the effect sizes and trying to pinpoint, you know, what is going to give us the biggest bang for our buck. And self-efficacy has a 0.92 effect size. Right. So I'm working with teachers, you know, how can we get teachers or students to take ownership in their learning and maybe track their own progress so they kind of know how they're growing throughout the curriculum and the coursework. And the fact that you are creating a book that offers an opportunity for students and parents to have this communication at home is unbelievable. But you do have a triad. Right. So if I'm a parent and I go buy this book, it might inspire me and I might want to start talking to my kid about how they're doing, right? But I'm not having a book study with my child's teachers either. So how is that triad created? Is it on the parent then to initiate that conversation with the teacher? Or, you know, do you guys have like a sister book for teachers to read that, you know, they can be on the same page with the parent and student? You know what I'm saying? So how do you create that triad, which is a wonderful, wonderful idea, but yet your book's only reaching 2/3 of it?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. Our book, we really took an approach to talk about an umbrella terminology for however districts are taking upon grading reform. And we just call it 21st century grading practices. And we've wrote the questions generic enough for any parent of any age to be able to have a conversation with their child and or their teachers and feel like they have a better understanding of what they should do. What should they ask? And it's all from a positive growth mindset orientation. It isn't from a deficit mindset. What do they have to do to get enough points? You know, we don't encourage parents to talk about those kinds of things, because we're not big fans of points-based scoring and grading, but more or less when the focus is on the learning, the conversation will be on the learning. And so it doesn't have to be extremely formal, but I feel like the questions throughout each chapter of our book, and we have basically a 5-chapter book, it's a 100-page read for parents, with a lot of diagrams and ideas to sort of wrap your mind around, that'll sort of trickle into all the content areas, whether you have a third grader or a senior. in high school. And it's just, it's a conversation starter stem, really, to think about, you know, how could I ask a conversation? Because one of the things we're very cognizant of in writing this book is we didn't want to indict schools and we didn't want to indict teachers for practices that they were doing the best they could with what they know how to do. And so we were very intentional in the questions that we provide for parents to ask that wouldn't indict and teachers, but could really open the door to say, hey, tell me about where I would find questions to ask about polynomials. I'm lost, instead of how many more assignments can you turn in to get your grade to above an 88?
Right.
And so, you know, just things like that to really focus the conversation about the learning. And you could substitute whatever it is for polynomials. It could be, what else do you need to be able to do to try to compete for first chair in the brass mm-hmm. section? You know, specifically like fill in the blank. And so just that focus on learning over earning again. So it really is a on-ramp for any type of grading reform to complete the triad, or at least start to develop one. And, you know, bring on this idea of social capital where, you know, parents really do a great job of talking to each other about, hey, what's going on at school? Have you talked to your child about X, Y, Z? And that can either be a positive conversation or it could be a negative conversation. And so, you know, we want to provide a lot of stems for where they could be a positive conversation. Like, hey, I reached out. I didn't know they had these things called proficiency scales or learning progressions. You know, they tell you exactly what it is that you have to be able to know or do. That's amazing. You know, and so the narrative can really develop a triad there. And then obviously there's some suggestions for how to have teachers think about, you know, maybe I'm not phrasing my newsletter appropriately. Maybe I don't know how to write this for a parent audience. And so I think our book lends to the teacher audience as well.
I guess you wouldn't know this. I was just curious. I know it just came out. I was like, I wonder who bought the book, you know, like, does it appeal, like, are parents snatching it up or teachers going, hey, that'd be great. Or are admins going, I better get this to, you know, my people, parents or teachers. Just my own thought, not really a question. Just excited for it to happen.
Yeah, like anecdotally, I know of a couple of administrators and teachers that have purchased the book because of their interest in trying to understand how to better communicate with, you know, like, hey, I'm an administrator. I want to coach teachers, or hey, I'm an administrator. I want to coach parents. I mean, again, we feel like these questions to ask students and questions to ask teachers, we literally want teachers and administrators to take a look at those questions and say, oh my gosh, like, we can create our own tip sheet, right? Print out a tip sheet and put it right there in front of a parent at parent teacher conferences and say, here's the types of questions you can ask. All right. Also, we had, I think it was 12 non-educator parents across the country actually read our book when it was in an earlier draft form to give us some feedback. And others were like, oh my, like, of them, they're like, oh my gosh, I learned a lot. And so again, anecdotally, we got this, you know, feedback loop embedded in there. We again specifically chose non-educator parents because we know that educator parents see this topic through a little bit different lens than our non-educator parents. Again, not that an educator parent couldn't benefit from this, but we really want it to be as, you know, as generalizable as possible. Mm-hmm. And you also asked earlier about what other books, you know, Ryan, Eric, like, would somebody else pick up? We know there's a lot of great books out there for administrators, for teachers that are coaching them to do this work at the classroom and systems level. Okay, that was, again, that was not our intent. Our intent was, this is a companion book. Whether you're reading Tom Guskey or Ken O'Connor or Tom Shimmer's book on how to do this stuff, this is a great companion you can pick up that would support parents in asking better questions of their students, asking better questions of their teachers.
Yeah, I the conversations that we've had so far, and I know that, you know, we could talk for hours and we're going to keep it brief, but what just me hearing about it, because, you know, being in a role where I'm trying to push out SRGs and get teachers to buy into it and all that stuff, you know, and even, you know, I was doing a professional development on teacher clarity the other day. You know, my message was, we spend so much time as the teachers trying to figure out what we're going to do, what we're going to say, what activities we're going to do, when the bottom line is the focus needs to be on, hey, what do I want the kids to learn? And how am I going to know that they're learning? You know, it's not all about me looking good, teaching it. It's about getting the results that the students are actually learning it. So the idea that you've written a book to an audience that is a non-educator audience, I think teachers could find great value in reading that book, because we are so concerned about getting stuff in the grade book and getting it in the grade book. And that's our communication method. But how often do we step back to look, what are our parents seeing when they look at our grade book, and what are they going to do? I mean, do they understand it? Before, in the past, you could just look and go, okay, my kid's got an A. Now he's got a 2 in this area, a 3 in this area, a 1 in this area, and a 4 in this area. What's that all mean? You know, so thank you for writing the book, but talk just for a second. I know you delved into it for a little bit, but could teachers find value in reading this book in their professional practice?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. You mentioned this concept of clarity, and, you know, Brené Brown talks about clarity is kindness, right? And if you're thinking that grades are a form of communication, in that, well, you need to be clear, and you can't hit what you can't see. So if we're really trying to be clear, then what that means is we got to be able to communicate clarity of what? Learning targets. What does it look like? A little bit less about doing in compliance and turning things in a checklist, and more about what does the learning actually look like? And so part of that communication is figuring out how to do that. And the more we use computerized grade books, the more it sort of feels like other dashboards of data we see in our lives, whether it's the stock market ticker app on our phones or a fantasy football score or whatever. And it's very dangerous to assume that we have all this data and analytics that we can push live to parents. We call it scoreboard watching in the book, mm-hmm. but without having a lot of context, a lot of clarity behind that. And I know that because we value that as adults, both teachers and non-teachers alike, in our regular everyday lives. You know, I sometimes am amazed if I take one of my kiddos to a doctor's appointment, or I go to a doctor's appointment and we do any kind of lab work, and we have an app that sends the labs back, and my wife will get that report before I ever see it. And she could go any which direction based off the data and analytics that comes back. But what brings her to a level of less concern is when I get home and say, hold on a second, let me explain to you what these numbers mean. When you take it upon your interpretation, one way or the other, especially based off an antiquated system of percentages or points, and you make that analogous to like a lab report, a soil report, if you're building your own house, or other analytics that we get, your investments, or even simply an automotive checkover report, and you start making these claims without knowing the context behind them, that's a really dangerous place to be. And we know that as adults, we need people to be sense makers of professional data. We're professional data makers. And we just live in this world of student data, but we have to create a level of context that a parent would understand. Whatever it is that the school district is choosing to use as a symbol or a metric or a mark to be able to provide context to that. And so providing opportunities in our book to explain, you know, how could I ask? Would it be appropriate instead of this deficit orientation is, how could they take this deeper? My child seems to have some propensity in this skill or this learning. What would I do to support that? And less about, you know, the numeric or the actual mark itself.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, Chad. And what it brings to mind is that parents so often have just taken the numbers, whatever they are, in the electronic gradebook, for example, at face value. They just think a point is a point is a point is a point, and I want to help my kid get as many of them as possible, regardless of what they mean. And as we think back about, you know, common grading reform, obviously big shift is we're no longer going to assign some point value to the daily or practice assignments, right? So it only makes sense, because if we do, we're either A, assigning some accuracy or correctness value to it when we shouldn't be, because that concept was probably taught that day. So the whole learning process is not done. So it doesn't make sense for us to assign point value to it. Or if it was like me in my math classroom back in the day, I would just assign points based upon like effort and completion. Well, now we've got a fogginess that's going on in what our grade book means, right? This point over here means effort completion. This point over here means how much a student has learned. So either way, there's no point, pun intended, on assigning points for homework or daily assignment completion. So that's a big shift for parents, right? They're like, where's the points? What do these points mean? So a question that we have in our book, for example, for a parent to ask their student is, right, because you got to imagine there's no longer a point value attached to these daily assignments, but ideally the teacher is still providing some level of feedback on it. So here's the question. Question for a parent to ask a student, what feedback do you get from your teachers that helps you feel confident about your learning? Here's another one. When you look at the feedback on your practice or homework, how can you tell if you're on track or not? Growth mindset, positive oriented, not deficit type questions. These questions we have geared are to uplift these fantastic grading practices that teachers and schools are really getting after, regardless of whether they call it SRG, SBG, PBG, or whatever the heck it's called.
Can you imagine what education could be if we could foster these kinds of conversations happening at home? I mean, seriously, if you're asking your kid, hey, what kind of feedback you're getting from your teacher that's helping you understand how you're doing and what are you going to do next with that feedback? Are you kidding me? I mean, or the answer might be, well, not getting any feedback. And then now the parent's got something to talk to the teacher about. Say, hey, I'm a little concerned if my child's not getting the feedback that he needs. What's your system for providing feedback? I mean, what a great way to advocate for your child by asking your child what's going on in school and them being able to tell you, and then you being able to take that information and go address it with the teacher. Not that, like you said at the beginning, I mean, we're not trying to point out any deficiencies. I mean, people are doing the best they can with what they've got. But again, looking at it from a different perspective, just that one question coming from one parent may change that entire teacher's outlook on how they teach, because now they understand, oh, wow, maybe I need to be doing more of this.
I like your question you threw in the chat there, Chad, because I think two of the even teacher evaluations, when you talk to like teachers, you say, well, what if I walked in your classroom and said, you got a 75% today on my walkthrough? And then I just left. Great. Because we do that sometimes to kids. Just here you go. Percent, yeah. No feedback, nothing connected with it. And teachers would not want that. I wouldn't want to give that. But yeah, we sometimes, I don't even know if we default to that as a desire. It's, I think you guys hinted at this, but it's the way we've always done it. And so to think about something different is sometimes a mind something for people.
Well, yeah, you just have to think back to Eric's point, which is, you know, think about what it could be in our family lives. And it seems like everyone's in a fast paced reality. But I mean, the age old question has always been, what'd you learn today? What was something fun you did today? And, you know, students never answer that to the chagrin of their parents. And they certainly don't talk about grades. They don't say, well, what I learned today was 71% of, you know, finding the acute angle of a triangle. They're going to talk about how they felt about what they learned. And if clarity is not key and you don't know what you're learning, they're not going to have a good answer. They're going to give this sort of, I don't know. They'll talk about what they did. They won't talk about what they learned. And so we think that we developed some questions that would help foster, get to the root of that. And then once you understand, and I think one of the misconceptions that we draw out both in our book and in work that we do with teachers and parents is you don't need to know the content to be a great supporter of a learner. You just need to know how to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Because Matt and I have a lot of experience with curriculum writing. And in our district now that I work with, we have 200 curriculums. I'm not an expert probably in any of them. But in fact, that actually puts me in a great position to ask clarifying questions about what does that mean? What would that look like when you're being proficient or successful? Tell me more. And that application of being able to tell someone else what you've learned who's not native to it, or maybe is 40 years removed or 30 years removed from the learning, in and of itself shows a level of learning. And of course, what comes with that is a great confidence. If you don't believe me, go ask any kindergartner in about the third quarter how to do a procedure in their classroom to a grandparent that comes in and watch their faces light up. And why is that? Because they have a level of competency and they can teach someone else. And I think the more we can ask questions that would ignite that fire in learning, the better off we're going to be. Not so much, here's what I did or didn't do, here's what I was able to learn or know. And all is not equal in that equation. You know, there's going to be challenging, rigorous topics that come up. And so how do we leverage easy or more challenging moments as a parent to support our learners and less about hurry up, just get this in and get it over with? We know that that doesn't work. We know that that just completion, conveyor belt, industrial model of learning has long gone past us by. And if they don't retain these essential standards that we've deemed essential or critical for them to be successful for life beyond our doors, there's going to be some great consequences for our kids.
Man, I'll tell you what, real quick, I'm just kind of curious, and I'll direct this over to Matt, but you did say you had 12 non-educator parents read the book. Based off of any of feedback, I mean, was there any feedback that you received from those non-educators that you were like, wow, we didn't even think about that, that you kind of had to add into the book that wasn't in the original draft?
Yeah, well, first, I think for many of our review, we'll call them our pilot readers, essentially, for many of them, it was an eye opener for them because they, for some of them, they didn't have a lot of exposure to this. And we did that on purpose because we wanted it to be readable for anybody. But I think if we're honest, we probably had too much education talk and jargon in it. And, you know, again, Chad and I have written for other journals and that type of other publications and books myself. And so we were used to talking to an educational audience.
Yes.
We're used to talking to a academic audience. And so we had to find this balance between embedding research, embedding metaphors and examples, and embedding and integrating the works of others, of course, citing them. Because it's not like it was just our opinions, right? We wanted to somehow balance that with writing it in a way that a parent audience can understand. So Chad mentioned, you know, the metaphors and analogies that we tried to integrate in there. So it was a fun challenge to do, especially for those of us that have kind of both of our eyes and ears and head and feet and shoulders and knees and legs all in the educational realm. It was a fun challenge.
Wow. Well, I think you guys should write a partner book, you know, to teachers. How can teachers talk to parents about grading? Because I think it goes best way. And I think if we could figure out a way to create that triad you guys talked about, I think that we can do some pretty special things in education. But listen, we've had you on here. We're coming up on about 30 minutes, and we don't want to keep you all day. Any closing thoughts from either one of you, just in terms of the book or SRGs or anything you just kind of want to leave our audience with something to think about?
Well, thanks, Eric. First of all, for having Matt and I on. We really enjoy your podcast. You guys do a great job. And it's been fun and a pleasure to get to know you better. You know, as regards to our book, you know, we chose this topic because it's probably one of the more challenging spheres of grading reform. And we felt like, you know, there's a key player. Of course, parents and guardians are a key player in education, and they deserve to have the research base in a way that is delivered in a way that could make sense for them. About grading reform and how it's better for their students in the long run. And it's more transparent, more valid, potentially, and certainly a better reflection of what their child can know or do. I mean, we want all data about our kids to be accurate and valid. And so we talk a lot in the book about the difference between, you know, precise information, what seems to be computerized to the 100th decimal, but whether or not that's valid or accurate isn't exactly the same thing. And I think that's really important. And we have a really positive mindset about grading reform. You know, we talk about, I think the first page of the book is, you know, grading's like one of those last untouched bastions of reform or change within the American education system, and no country has it figured out. It's a great book out there by Jack Schneider and Ethan Hutt called Off the Mark, and they really take you through a history of grading and assessment in the world. And I highly recommend any educator to read it, just to have a better frame of mind and sense. But it takes some courage to reform your grading practices, because it involves a great amount of communication, which, you know, we got a lot of other things to communicate to parents and guardians when it comes to a child's education. But when it comes to communicating their performance academically and also non-academically, being clear and transparent about what it is they're child can know or do. I mean, I think very little tops that in terms of its importance outside the safety of a child. So we wanted to provide, you know, some, I guess you could say, advice or research-based evidence to say, here's some philosophies. I mean, we have a lot of great parent authors that are cited within the research, best practices and recommendations from people like Dr. Michelle Borba and Jessica Leahy, who's a New York Times bestselling author on parenting advice, featured throughout our book and how it interweaves with grading. So it's both research based from a grading perspective but also a parenting perspective as well. So we're excited about the opportunity for people to leverage it within their school districts and their homes to create better positive relationships in school communities, and also including, you know, students taking accountability of their learning too.
Yeah, in our book, we talk about how grading has evolved, how it's significantly changed from when our parents were in school to today. That's really at the heart of this book, and so we try to help explain that in parent-friendly terms, of course, citing plenty of experts, as Chad just mentioned, along the way. I'd be remiss if we didn't mention a book that was published in 1971 called What'd Ya Get? The Grading Game in American Education. In fact, there was a 50th anniversary edition that was published in 2021. So the reason I bring that up is because we've been talking about grading for a long period of time. It is not some fad. Now, maybe there's more attention being given to it today than there has been maybe 20 years ago, but it's something that has been talked about. And so I believe it's something that is going to be continued to be talked about. And so we really hope that this book, again, has a pretty significant shelf life in helping parents better communicate with teachers, better communicate with their children about these grading shifts that are going on. And we feel like if 10, 20, 30, of course, you know, 300 or 3,000 would be great, parents could benefit from this. We know that that also means that teachers are going to benefit from it, and that kids are going to benefit from it, and that administrators are going to benefit from it, and really the whole educational community is going to benefit from it. And so that's really what got us excited to stay up late at night and to hop on Zoom with each other and to talk through the nitty-gritty details of this book. And I guess we invite anybody else that decides to read it, whether you are an educator, parent, or a non-educator parent, teacher, administrator, if you got some thoughts, good or bad, send them our way. We'd love to hear what you think after reading A Parent's Guide to Grading Reporting.
Wow. Well, speaking of that, how about you guys both give us how can our listeners follow you, get in contact with you? What's the best way for that?
Yeah, on that platform formerly known as Twitter, X, I guess it's called now, at MC Townsley is where I kind of hang out. Also, I've got a website, www.mctownsley.net. If you were to just hop on Google and type in the phrase all things standards-based grading, I'll take you to a really great resource for blog posts and articles and book links for all kinds of grading reform stuff. Now, Chad's got a nice social media presence as well he'll share about here in just a moment.
Yes, on that same platform, you can connect with me at Chad_M.Lang, L-A-N-G, or you can check out my website at recalibrateedservices.com.
Wow. Well, it's been a pleasure having you guys on, and I wish you the best of luck in your sales of your book and eagerly awaiting all of your sequels as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
As always, thank you for checking us out at The Peg Doesn't Fit. We appreciate you listening. You can find us on Twitter at The Peg Doesn't Fit. You can find me at Ryan D. Bartle1.
And my personal Twitter is at Eric J. Steven. You can also email us at thepegdoesn'tfit@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/thepegdoesn'tfit.
Drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Tell your educator friends or family, anybody. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week on The Peg Doesn't Fit.